Welcome to the Be the Adult podcast. Be the Adult is a nonprofit organization that provides blueprints for calm and effective parenting so that children can grow into their best selves. Because ultimately, we aren't raising children. We are raising little people who will one day be adults.
Welcome back to Be the Adult, the podcast. How are you, Nancy?
I'm good. How are you? I love being here with you, talking about this stuff.
I love podcasting. So I've been wanting to do this podcast with you for years.
I know.
Have you ever heard of the imposter syndrome?
Oh, yeah.
So I think my hesitation, I think we might have talked about this in a previous podcast. My hesitation has been, who am I to possibly even discuss parenting solutions to anyone? Spend a day in my life.
That could be all of us at some point in time.
But that's exactly what I've come out of this is, I think I'm a really good example of saying, I am not perfect, but I use these tools to help me have the relationship I have with my kids. I have a great relationship with my kids, and it's a lot of it I got from this, from these tools. So I don't feel so much like an imposter anymore. Okay. I feel more like, I'm trying to think of a metaphor, an analogy, but like the fall guy, like, I'm going to tell you how you're going to mess up, but it's going to be okay.
That's great. I just want to normalize that for you. All of us, myself included, have our days, our moments where we're like, wait, I'm talking about this stuff, right? Because none of us are perfect at anything.
And I would think anyone who walks around thinking that they're the perfect parent probably needs some therapy.
Probably.
So that's just my thought. So this week's podcast is Accept Me for Who I Am. We've had some lovely conversations on Listen to Me, Speaking Kindly, Behaving Gently, and Staying Calm. This one is, I think, more of a diving into the meat a little bit more, more individualistic, which is Accept Me for Who I Am. So reading from the book that is the point of view of a child reading to an adult, why is accepting me for who I am important? This shows me that I am a unique individual who deserves to be appreciated for who I am by you, myself, and others. So that's a big one.
It's a very big one. Yeah. This really speaks to feeling good enough, right? Children, right, they hand their hearts over to us when they're born because they have no history to tell them that that's not safe, right? And when we do an aware job of raising our children, then we do a pretty good job, or aware meaning we're aware of our own crap, potentially what we could hang on our child's head, right? Then we do a pretty good job of communicating to them that their heart is safe with us, that they're good enough for us. And one of the main ways we do that is accepting who they are for them, not trying to make them who we want to be. When they hand their hearts over to us and we don't accept them for who they are, we don't communicate to them that they're good enough for us, right? And that means that we really have kind of hung our stuff on their heads, right? Unaware for the most part. Then they don't feel good enough for us. They kind of withdraw their hearts. They sometimes build walls to protect themselves between their heart and us, because if the most important person or two people in their life who are supposed to accept them for who they are don't, then they really internalize that as, wow, I suck. I'm not good enough for them, which means I'm not good enough, because they don't have the brain development, the awareness yet to say, wow, that's mom shit. That's dad shit, right? They take that on. They point the finger back.
It becomes their own.
Exactly. And then that in of itself is heartbreaking, because we don't have a good relationship with them. If they don't feel safe or accepted by us, they don't feel good about themselves. And then another layer, they take that out into the world. And subconsciously, what we do more often than not is kind of surround ourselves with people who kind of perpetuate how we feel about ourselves, or will help perpetuate that.
You might accidentally marry them.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. She just took a giant leap, but yes. Yeah. And so this concept is crucial to look at.
This is one of the biggest ones for me personally, biggest lessons I've learned. Mm-hmm. And I will have to say, I didn't learn it so much from us, from Be the Adult. Mm-hmm. This one I learned when God gave me twins. He gave me boy, girl, twins, and then a third. And I'll tell the story. So
I love your stories.
So I have boy, girl, twins. I had no idea how to be a good mom. I just knew I wanted to be a good mom. No point of reference at all. My parenting style was do everything the opposite of what I grew up with. That was it. Bill Cosby and Roseanne Barr were my role models.
Oh, wow.
That's how sad it was. But, you know, God, universe, goddess, whatever label you need to give, gave me twins. Boy, girl, twins. And that just blew away any idea I had about what I expected from my children or what I expected, I'm using quotes, good children are. When
it's your deep breath. Wow. Deep breath. That was palpable.
So they were little. I was still trying to deal with the boy girl situation and realizing very early on that they were completely different. My two children were complete. My son came into this world exactly who he is. And he has been that way since he was born. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, his twin, complete opposite. Just in wonderful ways, nothing good nor mm-hmm. bad. They were just individuals. So I already had that baseline. Mm-hmm. But I'm still an American parent. So in my head, by the time they're entering like kindergarten, for me, I thought being a good parent meant, and I'm going to say this seriously, meant that I was scrapbooking their moments.
Right.
That they were good students, that they got 100% on their spelling test at the end of the sure. week. And that they were polite. That's all.
Society tells us those measures to use yes. those measures. Yes,
okay. That's what I thought meant I had good kids. Then I was blessed with my third child, and when I believe she was 8 weeks old, she had surgery at Duke University. She had craniosynostosis, and they had to cut 2 inches of her skull because mm-hmm. her the soft spot had fused in vitro. Mm-hmm. So that experience, I'm at Duke with the neurosurgeon who's about to cut my baby's head open. And my question, he's like, do you have questions? After a big pile of stack of paperwork that I had to sign, I was like, how is this going to affect her academically? Not missing a beat, looking me right in the eyes. He's like, does it matter?
Wow.
And that moment changed my life.
Wow.
It went from like, if you guys want to be great students, I want you to be great students. I think you're all completely capable of being great students, but that's not what makes you a great person. Mm. You are a great person.
I have chills.
Yes. And that moment totally changed my life with my kids. Wow. I have two of my kids, exceptionally gifted academically by choice. There's no pressure on me.
They work hard.
It's your grades. It's mm-hmm. your high school experience. It's your college you're going into. The youngest one, she's an athlete. She's a natural born athletic person, and she thrives in that environment. I'm not judging her on her test score. I'm judging on how much she puts into something that she's passionate about yeah. and how much energy she gives into being the best that she can be at what she does. Blew me away.
Wow.
So I was given a gift to realize you don't have to follow this checklist. You don't have to be a good student. You don't have to be an Eagle Scout. You don't have to volunteer 5.5 hours if you don't want to, if you don't feel it in your heart to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's helped me as a parent. And I think that kind of falls into the accept me for who I am.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. I mean, wow.
That's my role in this podcast.
Well, I think you just passed that gift on to me and to so many people listening, because truly, if, you know, they are healthy, right? I mean,
that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And then that gave me the gift to enjoy them for who they are. Mm-hmm. It took away all that self-imposed fear and anxiety that if they did not conform to what society tells me is a good kid, then I'm a bad parent. It wiped that away from me.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. I have to gather my thoughts because I'm in my emotions right now and in my heart. What you're basically saying is that we need to honor, value, accept, hold space for who our children are inside in their soul so they can feel good enough to live congruently with what feeds them. Am I right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so easy to say. For me, one of the hardest things to do, because we all have a box that we want our children to fit into. Okay, I say all. I know that's not absolute.
It's a generalization, but it's a generalization. True.
So many of us. And we get that box typically from our parent or parents, and we can talk about how we get here. But for me, I've lived that, right? This box is what I want for my kids. And more often than not, at least for me and in my experience, it's really what would take good care of me. If they checked this, this, and this off, then I would be okay because my anxiety would be down. I would feel like a good enough parent. I wouldn't worry so much that they're going to be okay in the world and all of that. And while that's all great to help ourselves feel better, at what expense, right? The best shot we have at helping our children, you know, live a quote, air quote, successful life, whatever that means, who knows, right? Is to honor where they are, as long as they're not a danger to themselves or someone else. I'll always qualify with that. If we can help them live congruently with who they are, that's our best shot at them feeling good enough. Then they have the space to sit in who they are today and see how that is for them, and sit in who they are tomorrow and see if that feels congruent and good for them. And then the next day. So, you know, as they grow, they try on all these different hats to kind of figure out, really form their identity and who they are and how they want to be. And so us stepping back with boundaries, obviously, to help them keep them safe and be good people, air quotes, be kind. That's our best shot at helping them create their true selves and feeling good enough to continue to live life as their true self. Because in what I believe is that leading a peaceful life that I've been taught is leading a congruent life. Kind of who I am is how I show up in the world.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think my reflection on society, excuse me, and maybe the educational system here in America as well, we try to force these kids into these boxes.
Absolutely.
And it's like, this is the box you're in. And if you're in this box, then I'm doing a good job. Right now, you know, I have two kids going into their senior year, and I've been describing it to my friends like a beehive. I feel like I'm in a beehive where many parents, I'm going to just say it, mothers right now are completely freaking out about college. It's not real. And this is what I keep telling them. I'm like, this fear isn't real. There's enough colleges in this country that want your money. Your kids will be okay. They will get in. But it's almost that the culmination of from that moment they walked into kindergarten, that whatever happens for the next 13 years is a reflection of who I am as a parent. And the biggest blessing I have ever given myself is to tell my kids, whatever your class rank is, whatever your GPA is, wherever you end up in college, that's a reflection of you and what you want. And I will support you and I will love you regardless of where you end up. And when I gave them that space, they rose.
Because they want to feel good inside.
And find what they want. And my daughter will come to me and you know, she'll get sometimes anxiety about what major she should pick. And my response is, why should you know right now? You're 17. If I made a decision at 17, that was going to affect me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, me too.
Some people are blessed. Some people know from the moment they're, you know, little kids that this is the track they're going to go, but some don't.
More often, they change majors. I forgot the national average, but it was a high number.
Yeah.
Somewhere 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Yeah.
So accepting who you know, who they are, I think that's so important because they're still trying to figure it out. And if you love them through it and you honor them through it, mm-hmm. what I've seen is them just thrive.
Yeah. And if you think about it, even in kindergarten, you can take your great Beehive example for college. Oh, my kid has to get into this preschool program. Mm-hmm. My kid has to get into this elementary school or, oh no, yeah. right? And it really comes back to us. Our job as parents is to set the stage for them to be able to be their best self, which means, and things we're going to get more concrete as our podcasts go on about boundaries and rules and all of that stuff. But we're talking more emotionally now, right? Mm-hmm. My job as a parent is to get my own shit in order, right? Have the awareness into the stuff that I get triggered about, how to calm myself down, how to be non-reactive, how not to hang it on my kid's head. So I can give them a calm pool to swim in to be able to figure out who they are. And the only, besides that, really the only control I have is over how I live my life. What I model for them is really the most important thing I can do. That's my best shot at helping them get where I know they have the aptitude to be, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? And it's really hard to do, especially like you talk about twins that think it's even harder, but just think about siblings, right? We could talk about, we could have 35 million podcasts about raising siblings. It's tough, right? Our stuff gets triggered and all of that. But we compare our kids to each other based on our history, our family of origin, our birth order, all of that. But subconsciously, right, we compare our children, sometimes overtly, and they learn to not be good enough because I'm not as good as my sister, or I'm not as good as athlete or as good a student. And then that also breeds the sibling rivalry. The competition now becomes more fierce. And so really what we want to do is honor each child for who they are themselves. Can I give you a quick example? I did this once. When my kids were, I had two of them, I have three boys, but two of them, they were little. I think one was five, one was seven. My five-year-old was born athletic, born a fish in the water, excelled at swimming. My seven-year-old just always like had a smile on his face and just really wanted to play in the water with his friends. So my five-year-old was swimming laps to get better. He loved to do that. He was practicing for a swim team. My seven-year-old was having just as much fun playing with friends, going down a slide. And when we left, we got in the car and I looked at them both and I said, now like my heart's like, how could I have said this? But that was my best at the moment, right? I looked at them and said, wow, you guys did such a great job swimming today. And I saw both of their hearts sink like on their faces. And I was like, oh my gosh, what did I just do, right? I tried to give them a compliment. And what I quickly realized, not quick enough because I didn't do it right, but I quickly realized is I was lumping them together. And by lumping them together, I wasn't being honest, and then they didn't trust me in that moment. They didn't feel seen and heard for their particular strengths. So when I realized this, I circled back, and I was like, oh my gosh, let me be more specific. And I said to my five-year-old, I loved watching you just look so happy, putting your effort into getting your stroke better. Just so cool how you kept doing that. And then my seven-year-old, I said, it was so much fun for me to watch your face going down the slide and just giggling with laughter when you kept splashing into the water. And then you could see, like, they melted. They're like, wow, I'm good enough for who I am. She's accepting me for my strengths. She's not comparing me to my brother. So that, to me, is an example of how to do this.
Yeah, I live it. I still live it daily with the twins more than the twins and excuse me, and then the sibling situation with the two daughters, because I don't treat them all equally. And you're not the same kids. You each need something different
yep.
from me than mm-hmm. I'm, you know. And I know with one of my twins, her brother is just a very strong personality. I joke that, you know, I'm surprised he didn't eat her in vitro.
Oh, jeez.
he came out of this world sorry. Just so expecting to be the only person in the whole room.
I'm sorry, I have that visual in my head. I got to get it out. Yeah.
Yeah. But so watching them grow up and watching them evolve into who they are, I have learned they just have to be who they are. Mm-hmm. I tell my daughter every time, you're on a totally different lane than your brother is. And you're between us and the audience, your lane seems a lot more fun.
For you.
If you acknowledge the differences, mm-hmm. and you appreciate the differences, they really do thrive.
They do.
When I try to compare them, I've made this mistake, in the younger years, like, well, why couldn't you do like your mm-hmm. sibling did?
Absolutely.
That did nothing right. but cause pain and hurt and make someone feel small,
yep.
not good enough. I don't do that now. No.
Right. And it's hard. We don't intentionally to do that. We're doing our best, all of us, right? Mm-hmm. Pure of heart. We think we're motivating them,
yeah.
but we're doing the opposite, right?
Yeah.
And the reason that they do feel empowered to be their best selves when we focus on their unique talents, right, their awesome attributes, is because they feel good enough. And when you feel good enough inside, then you feel like you can focus on yourself and become your best self. You're not spending the energy fighting off these demons around us, right? We can really use the energy to grow into our best selves.
Yeah, and I saw it with my youngest, too, who's the one that originally had that surgery. She's incredibly athletic. She's incredibly outgoing, very mm-hmm. social. She has a different personality than her siblings. And she found areas within sports, within musical theater, that highlight that for mm-hmm. her and that bring her joy.
Mm-hmm.
If I tried to stick her brother into musical theater, he would not find joy. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's everyone is so different. The three of them, they're my children. They all came from me. Mm-hmm. And there's no more three different kids that you can possibly imagine. And the most peaceful thing I learned to bring into my house is to treat them differently.
Yeah, is to really listen to them, what they yeah. need, honor. You can see the energy that they mm-hmm. have around certain things. Help them, ask them, hey, I see you out shooting hoops for like the last 6 hours. That's super cool. What was that like for you?
Yeah.
Anything you need from me to support you, right? Yeah. And one more thing. The thing we need to be careful about, and I really had to work on this, is that we'll notice them, like our kid who's out shooting hoops for 6 hours, right? We have to be careful not to label them mm-hmm. as the student, the athlete, the musician.
Yeah,
that's tough because mm-hmm. we think we're doing a good job because they're passionate and they excel. What we want to communicate is today,
that's who you are.
That's who you are. You might choose to behave this way for the rest of your life and become this world NBA player or a world-class musician. But you might change your mind in a week or a year and 6 years. And so I just want to support you where you are.
Exactly. My youngest, who I described as the athlete, she actually left athleticism, the sport, uh-huh. a year ago and has moved into musical theater.
Interesting.
And the general consensus was like, oh, but she's put so much time into the sport and she loves the sport. Are you mm-hmm. sure you're doing the right thing? It was very liberating for me to say, this isn't my decision.
Mm-hmm.
We are taking a very long time for her to come to the conclusion mm-hmm. of what she wants. And again, this is my personal, I'm not speaking for Be the Adult, to think that most children know what they want to do at mm-hmm. such a young age for the rest of their lives
mm-hmm.
is not, I don't necessarily agree with that.
Right.
Pivot as many times as you need to pivot in life mm-hmm. to find what brings you joy.
Right. And she might come back to athletics. She might not. Mm-hmm. But because you're giving her the space mm-hmm. to figure this out, then it will be, the hope is more true to what takes good care of her.
Yeah.
Our job as parents is to expose them when they're young to lots of different things
mm-hmm.
so they can taste some things and see what feels good to them.
Yeah.
And then not stick them into that space if they don't want to be there.
And for anyone listening who might have older children and you think, oh, this is too late for me to apply, I didn't really apply this. I probably had that mentality even after the surgeon told me, does it matter? I still probably had the idea that to be a good parent meant my kids had to be good students and had to be, citizenship and get as many awards at the end of the season.
Right.
Till about middle school, for me, is when it really broke open for me to realize I needed to switch the kids into different schools. They were all at this point, or at least two of them were at the same school. It wasn't the right school for both my kids. Mm-hmm. And that just was wonderful to move one child, her find her own path, her own mm-hmm. friendships, her own, just change the dynamic of our lives. So it can happen at any point.
Right.
Even if you were like me back in kindergarten, signing up to be grade mom and Girl Scout leader. And I was like, what? Sign me up for anything that's going to make me a good mom was my
right.
was my mantra. Right. Those things did not make me a good mom. What made me a good mom was, like our previous podcast, putting down the phone, paying attention to my kid, giving them my full attention, and like in this podcast, accepting them for who they are.
Right. Yes. And if being the great parent and all of that takes good care of us, like we're doing it for us, go for it, right? If that feeds my soul to do all that stuff, that's beautiful. The difference is I don't want to do that because my expectation is that's what will make me a good mom.
And that's where I was. And that's where I feel many people are. Many people, I say this about anyone. Every parent is doing the best they can. Even the most, excuse my French, fucked up parent is doing the best they can because they're doing it with the tools that they currently have.
Absolutely.
And the life experience that brought them to where they are now. Right. Doesn't mean they're doing it right. Send them our podcast.
But it's their best, and it truly is.
Is their best.
Yeah. And so it's really the most important thing I hope anyone takes from all of these podcasts is to look inward. Mm-hmm. Because when we can all look inward, we will start seeing stuff that hopefully stuff that we're proud of takes good care of us. We pat ourselves on the back, and then we're all going to see stuff, myself included, that we're like, woo. And then once we see it, then, you know, awareness is a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah.
It's beautiful because we see it, because we can change it, but it also is painful at times and hurts to see the shit we create for ourselves. Yeah.
But it heals. If you do look inward, mm-hmm. you realize it, you get the awareness, and you start working towards healing it, it changes.
Yes.
So I went from, I don't think I've scrapbooked a day in my life in the last 10 years, but back then I thought that was it. If I had these books,
right,
this makes me a good mom.
Well, it worked for you back then, right? Doesn't say it's healthy, but it worked. You were getting something from it, right?
I was like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I had a checklist that I thought was going to make me a good mom. And what I've come to realize now towards the end of, you know, this time, I'm always going to be a mom, but towards the end of the school tenure, right. those aren't the things that made me a good mom. That made me a good mom were when my kids might have been in crisis or needed my help or needed me to hear them or listen to them, that I was there for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's however our children need their hearts held. It's however they can feel good enough for us mm-hmm. is really what it comes down to. And honoring who they are inside, communicating that we love them for who they are right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I just want to say is that can change who they are. That's what the whole process of childhood.
We all evolve.
Adolescence, the 20s, college years, we're constantly growing. We're constantly evolving.
As adults too, I hope. Right?
I hope. So it's just accepting who they are and loving them for it.
And accepting ourselves for who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was another excellent podcast.
That was Ms. fun. Nancy. Thank you.
So next up, we will be talking about praising children and their efforts, which kind of piggybacks on mm-hmm. what we just did. And then this is going to be a big one for us when we get there. Create structure and hold me accountable, because that's my weakest link.
That's hard. Yes.
But it's the beginning of the school year, so it'd be a good time to touch base on that. We really hope you've enjoyed these podcasts. It comes from the heart. We will hopefully have all of these up and published by November. We have a huge fundraiser, the Be the Adult fundraiser, coming in November 2nd. We invite everyone to come and participate and help us raise funds so we can continue to do this and share content with the world.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Be the Adult podcast. please follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and don't forget to rate and subscribe to our podcast. A special thank you to a few of our Barn Dance Barbecue fundraiser sponsors for their generous support. Rees Architecture, Coastal Carolina Radiation Oncology, the Valentino Family, the Law Office of Jeffrey Porter, Wilmington Gastroenterology. See you on the next episode of Be the Adult Podcast.